Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. Today we'll mark the 10th anniversary of our Iraq War by hearing parts of a nice audio collage by Skidmark Bob. It's a blend of movie clips, TV news, popular songs, and one or two documentaries on the lives of our enlisted soldiers still getting shot up in Afghanistan. I hope you'll stay tuned. I didn't really get into the Iraq War 10th anniversary brouhaha last month. I'm getting old. I remember too much. The United States has been making war against one third world nation or another since I was born. That was 1950. Always a war against some small, poor third world country, with the one exception of Serbia. A small second-world country that did not want to play ball with the IMF or join the European Union. So we bombed Belgrade, claiming we did it to protect the Muslim community within Bosnia. Makes perfect sense to me. But I digress. Skidmark Bob has a blog, and also a show on America's premier pirate radio station, Free Radio Santa Cruz. He engineered this audio collage a couple years ago to mark the 10th anniversary of our war against Afghanistan. It's called Decade War. It's an hour long, so we'll hear just part of it. For me, the best parts are the voices of the American and British soldiers sent off to Afghanistan to fight. The film clips add perspective to the soldiers' stories, and the music adds more commentary. Hey, remember Country Joe's anti-war song? 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. Big hit at Woodstock. Well, the modern update we have here is stunning. Just change Vietnam to Afghanistan, then transpose the whole thing into a minor key, and, well, you'll know it when you hear it. As for the 1965 hit Eve of Destruction, we'll hear a punk version, and the collage ends with the original. Also stunning. Today, we'll start off with some movie clips for background, skip ahead to Abu Ghraib, and then catch up with our fighting boys in Helmand Province. If you want to know why we're in Afghanistan, this show is one of the best explanations you'll get. Here is Skidmark Bob's Decade War.
Good evening. Operation Desert Storm rages on.
This is the story of 10 years of the war for hearts and minds.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
All real Americans love the sting of battle.
We like war. We're a warlike people.
War happens and the fighting starts. You know, it's kind of like we're pumped up, motivated, ready to go.
It's the ultimate rush because you know you're going into the fight to begin with. And then you got a good song playing in the background. And that gets you real fired up.
Fire!
Kill! Kill! Kill!
Fear not, Muslim friends. We're here to find terrorists. I'm clearing your minds of all anxiety.
What do you gotta be stressed about?
War. Middle East.
You don't listen to the president? We're going to mop the floor with the whole world. The whole world's going to be under our control. So what are you worked up about?
And that is exactly what we are doing, as promised and on schedule. But make no mistake, Our commitment in Iraq is changing.
We better get that oil, right? The U.S. Army is not the Peace Corps. The Marines are not the Peace Corps. That's not why we're in Iraq. We're in Iraq for money and oil.
Greed. Power.
Corruption.
Can unleash the dogs of war.
America! Fuck yeah!
We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks.
The only way to win a war is to be just as nasty as the enemy. One thing that worries me is that we're liable to wake up one morning and find out we're even nastier than they are.
Why, she's a ho-ho. Don't you know we love her more and more?
The number of disturbing photos coming out of Abu Ghraib continues to multiply. The latest picture, obtained by the New Yorker magazine, shows a dead inmate wrapped in cellophane and packed in ice. Another photograph showed an empty room at the Abu Ghraib prison, splattered with blood. On the streets of Baghdad, people are increasingly saying the U.S. occupation is the same as Saddam Hussein's brutal regime. There is no God but God, and America is the enemy of God, hundreds of families chant at the gates of Abu Ghraib.
More and more photographs of the torture victims in Iraq are surfacing all across the globe and in the U.S. mainstream media as the slaughter in Iraq continues at the hands of the U.S. occupiers. A car bomb detonated in Najaf today at the U.S. headquarters, killing five Iraqi civilians and one U.S. soldier. Another car bomb exploded in Baghdad, killing two U.S. soldiers late Wednesday night.
Series of simultaneous bombings in Baghdad.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. troops in Iraq since the beginning of the war.
Dear Mrs. Robinson, your boy died today. He died a brave man far away. We had our door.
Get kid out alive.
When they told me I was going to the Korngal Valley, I really didn't read anything up on it. I didn't want to. I wanted to go in there with an open mind. The colonel told me, initially, they take fire every single day. I was like, God, how the hell do you take fire every single day from somebody? You gotta go out there and go kill the damn enemy. Quit being, you know, scared. Go out there and get them. And the colonel and I came up with, you know, what we thought was gonna be our campaign plan, and that after 2 months of being there, I would fix it and that we wouldn't get shot at anymore.
The very first date, I remember coming in and one of the pilots and stuff, and I said, hey, if you look over there to your left, that's the Pakistan, you know, way in, like, you know, we all, okay, that's Pakistan. And then they all mount, you know, high elevation. And as you go in elevation, it starts to get a little bit colder. And then we go up into the Korngal Valley.
I remember looking out the little bubble windows on the side, kind of just like this, because I was right next to the window. And I could see when the Chinook had made a hard right turn into the valley. I was like, holy, we're not ready for this.
I remember getting off the bird and walking up the hill to the hooch.
Hey, you guys standing up right there? You're wrong.
And just sucking. And thinking, what are we doing?
It started getting dark, and the monkeys were howling, and I thought they were Taliban, and I thought, they're close.
Everybody's like, oh, you're going to the Korngal? Oh, and they feel sorry for you and everything like that. I'm like, dude, it can't be that bad, you know? I show up there, and you're burning your own feces, you know, you're living in a tent. I literally lived in a bunker, you know, about that high, I couldn't even stand up in. See bullet holes all rattled into the HESCOs, and when you look up, it's like, I don't even know why I have HESCOs here, because they're not going to stop the bullets that are coming down from the mountain. So I felt like I was like fish in a barrel.
I'm up here by 0-4 and we're standing. And if we have to, we'll move the contact. I got myself, Regan and Thomas over here.
Roger, over.
Hey, I'm about to find this bastard and I'm going to kill him.
Okay, Roger, so it's coming from 1705 and 00. We should be firing on those here right now. Great.
Hang it! Fire!
Right now from 1705, vicinity 2216.
For the first few months of the deployment, we'd get rocked hard. They'd hit us from, they'd ambush us at 360 degrees.
I remember thinking, you know, holy did everybody from the entire country come to this valley? Is nobody else fighting anymore? Is every bad guy in my face?
In the entire country of Afghanistan, we dropped something close to 70% of all the ordnance. All the bombs that were dropped at that particular time were dropped in the Korngal Valley. That CNN dubbed it one day. The boys saw it and said, you know, deadliest place on earth, the Korngal Valley.
Big firefight.
Yeah.
Big. Packing up rounds. That was fun though, man. That was fun. You can't get a better high. It's like crack, you know. You can even skydive or bungee jump or do, you know, kayak, but once you've been shot at, you really can't come down. There's nothing, you can't top that.
In 2006, a small number of British troops were flown into a province in southern Afghanistan called Helmand. There were reports that the Taliban had returned to the area and were becoming an increasing threat. British troops were going in to see how real the threat was. The first soldiers were dropped into towns in northern Helmand. In the biggest town, Sangin, they took over a derelict house and turned it into their base. Their job was to find out if there was a Taliban threat in Sangin, and they began to patrol the town.
We did a patrol, and we came across a building, and it had pass-through written on the building, and it actually said Taliban headquarters, which was a bit strange, and we all stood there and thought it was quite funny to have the Taliban headquarters there.
One day, I was looking through the binos, looking at somebody in a white dishdash, looking back at me through binos, and he had a white turban on, and we were looking at each other, and he was working out his ranges, for obviously for his mortars and everything, for his big attack, and I was looking at him going, this is a bit surreal.
What the Taliban saw was a British army spread thinly. They were exposed and vulnerable, and the Taliban knew it.
It's that side.
Slowly, the Taliban let the British know that they were out there. Jason Conway filmed the aftermath of some of the first shots fired.
Where'd it come? You know, like across the top?
I don't know. You know, like your rifle has a crack and thumb. That's how close it was. You could hear like a crack as it
went by. My arse went then.
The threat was very, very real. The enemy knew that they were in range, so it was just a matter of time.
Machine gun!
The Taliban appeared everywhere and began to smash every British base. The men were completely cut off from the outside world. Jason filmed some of the only footage that exists of those early Taliban attacks.
Fighting on every level. You're fighting for communications, you're fighting for awareness, you're fighting to see the enemy. You are completely focusing in on fighting to your back teeth. You know, it was proper soldiering.
Army, all pinned down at once, not being able to do a single thing. You've got to ask yourself some questions.
Jason Conway's job was to find where Taliban rockets were coming from and order British mortars and artillery to fire back.
Fire Uniform Quebec 4522 at left.
He filmed the damage inflicted by Taliban rockets while men from another regiment had been on the rooftop.
One of them struck that building there. You can see the entrance point. There was three persons killed there. And that was the first fatality within Sangin District Centre.
In the first 3 months in Helmand, 14 British soldiers died more than had been killed in the previous 5 years of the war. The men were trapped and facing disaster. Things were so bad that in the dead of night, a desperate attempt was made to keep the men alive. They gathered on the rooftop of the house in Sangin, waiting for a plane to drop vital supplies. But when the parachutes finally dropped, it was 2 kilometers away, deep in enemy territory. With nothing to live on and nothing to fight the enemy with, some men were told to prepare for being overrun, captured, and tortured.
Anything with any of our names on, any mail that had got out to us was destroyed. Any photos we had of our families, we destroyed. Anything with our names on was destroyed, because we were expecting that this wasn't going to come out good. Last night was mad. About 17:30, the boss came up to my position. He told me there was over 1,000 Taliban coming to take our position, wished me luck, and fucked off. There was a lot of Taliban last night. The f*** just kept coming.
British military were left with only one option. A massive bombing campaign driving the Taliban back to save the men's lives.
You know, you're inflicting systematic violence to the extreme, to say, you're not going to kill me, I'm going to kill you, because I'm going to put something bigger and harder and nastier on you in order to deter him from coming back and doing it again. It's fucking bang on that.
But the bombing also destroyed the homes and lives of the local people of Helmand. And although it created a brief respite, the Taliban were not deterred.
As anyone will tell you that was there, within minutes or within about maybe an hour, someone would pop up from the same position and engage you from now a pile of rubble.
The platoon found themselves under attack from the Taliban just after returning from a patrol.
You're fucking hitting.
Come on, let's get move on.
Hello, Mum.
Scotty, get your head down.
East of Compound 24, rapid!
A level right. Fox, 600 metres, right of Taunton.
Go, Jess.
No one here gets it out alive.
1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for?
No one here gets it out alive.
1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for?
No one here gets it out alive.
Vietnam stands. Vietnam stands. Oh, Vietnam stands.
sitting here just contemplating. A cat twists the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
And we end as we began, with Eve of Destruction. That song hit the charts in 1965, and alas, there's no need to change a word today, 48 years later. You'll find the complete version of Decade War and a good deal of interesting music at the blog of Skidmark Bob. And that is popdefectradio.blogspot.com. popdefectradio.blogspot.com. And you'll find a link to them at our own webpage, which is newworldnotes.blogspot.com. From Darkest Connecticut, this is Kenneth Doust for New World Notes. Illigit to my non-carborundum, and remember, war is not healthy for children and other living things. Ciao.